From New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Music is more than the sum of its parts, but tapping into that X factor of alchemy requires learning the basics. So this week, we're taking lessons from some of the best music teachers we know.
I'm not against an artist, particularly one who might sell a couple million records, altering a lyric or two.
What I'm getting at is the element of catharsis.
You can hear it in Chinese singers, Slavic singers. Ella had it. It's a youthful quality that does not age.
Rhyming dictionaries are great.
The best example for the vibraphone that I can tell people is that you've heard it used as a logo for the National Broadcasting Company.
Ooh. Jason Marcellus, A.J. Croce, Ricky Lee Jones, David Egan, and Jim McCormick tell us how music works after the break. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This week, we're featuring music lessons from some of our favorite guests on the show. As it turns out, musicians are excellent teachers. They can shed light on writing lyrics and on the rigors of mastering an instrument. Musicians also can demonstrate how to analyze a song and find dimensions that not even the songwriter anticipated. So let's talk about lyrics. Singer-songwriter A.J. Croce writes within reach of a rhyming dictionary.
Rhyming dictionaries are great because it allows you to think outside the box. I mean, in a song I wrote when I was just a kid, and this was something I pulled out of a rhyming dictionary, there was a line where I said, let's see, I found faith in the sermoneer.
What is a sermoneer?
It's someone that's giving a sermon.
Gotcha.
And so
you coupled that with what?
Until assured I could persevere. And this rhyming dictionary was especially great because it was from the 1920s.
Oh.
And so it had words in it that were, and I still have it on my piano, that are just not commonly used anymore. And even if you don't end up using one of the rhymes from a rhyming dictionary, it allows you to think differently. It also allows you to think of the story in a different way because you might change the verse to work with a rhyme and then go, hey, what if we went this direction? End up using a totally different rhyme that has nothing to do with that. But because of keeping that rhyme scheme going, you try something new.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it speaks to how solitary songwriting can be, you know, the idea that for many songwriters who write alone,
mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to bounce an idea off of something.
Right.
And if you're
right.
able to get that idea out of a rhyming dictionary, maybe that's the right way to go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. You can... I once picked up a really cool old rhyming dictionary. They're all different, you know. Looked like it was from the 60s. And I swear to you that it read straight down. It read Blinded by the Light, that Bruce Springsteen song. And every single word, I swear, he just took the rhyming dictionary, he opened it, and he just went straight down the list.
Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
Yeah.
That comes from a rhyming dictionary, you think?
Well, the verses do.
Some old hot head shot was it for hot spots, snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. In some flesh, my mascot was tied to a lover's knot with a whatnot in her hand. And now young Scott with a slingshot finally found a tender spot and throws his lover in the sand. Save the buckshot, turn up the band. Yeah, she was blinded by the light. Oh, cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. She got down, but she never got tight. But she'll make it all right.
Maybe it's just absolute sheer luck that it happened this way. I would bet money that it came out of this particular rhyming dictionary.
Extraordinary.
And I've seen, seen the same thing with, you know, with Bob Dylan songs, and you hear an unusual rhyme and you go, you know, it could be from a rhyming dictionary, it could, or not, but it, you know, it's very common.
Let's talk a little bit about your writing style, because you have a very particular tight rhythmic pattern kind of when you write.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you there's a repetition to, you know, I mean, to your verses.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this wonderful repetition of ideas. It's a very sophisticated mnemonic device that you use.
Well, I think that finding a way to simplify the song is always going to be the best. You know, I was really influenced by that late 50s, early 60s rock and roll and R&B and soul music, the early stuff. And it was very simple, but it was direct and effective.
There's a song that you do called Make It Work.
Very simple but repetitive, and it
yes.
has that same effect.
That's right. If
yeah.
it's all right, it's all right.
Yeah. When it's all right, if it's all right. Could you tell me what went wrong when it goes wrong? If it goes wrong, it won't be long till it's too late. Is it too late?
Yes.
Tell me now. Don't make me wait. To get it straight, I'll try and find a way to make it work.
AJ Croce, you're right tight.
That's the idea, right?
Do you think you might be able to sing that for us?
Sure.
Okay.
If it's all right, when it's all right, could you tell me what went wrong? If it's all wrong, when it's all wrong, it won't be long till it's too late. Is it too late? Tell me now, don't make me wait to get it straight, get it straight. I've got to find a way to make it work. It takes time, so much time, though in time you see what's real. What is real? What is real? You can feel or understand. I understand. There may be nothing I can do to make a change, make a change. I've got to find a way to make it work. I find a way to make it work. There is no waste of time if spent to make it worth it in the end. If it's all right, when it's all right, could you tell me what went wrong? When it's all wrong, if it's all wrong, it won't be long till it's too late. Is it too late? Tell me now, don't make me wait to get it straight, get it straight. I've got to find a way to make it work.
That was A.J. Croce with a live performance of Make It Work. This is Music Inside Out, and we're taking music lessons from some of our favorite guests. Right now, the subject is songwriting, and sometimes an unexpected development can force a change in the lyrics of a song. That's what happened to country music songwriter Jim McCormick and his co-writer Dylan Altman. They wrote a song called Take a Little Ride, which country music star Jason Aldean took to number one. But Aldean asked them to make a little change.
I'm not against an artist, particularly one who might sell a couple million records, altering a lyric or two.
Okay.
It is my J-O-B. This is very much my career. At the same time, there's a lot of personal investment in it. You know, hopefully you've done the job as well as it possibly can be, and no one would see room for improvement.
Okay.
If they do, maybe you should take a good look at their suggestion. Maybe it is better.
But then, okay, so now I'm going to walk you back to your number one hit, Jason Aldean. He's got this very sexy song, obviously, very fun, lovers, you know, cruising, you know, everybody wants to do that. But in the song, you know, you all mentioned a particular beverage that, you know what I mean, that the protagonist is drinking,
yes.
You know? And then the song hits, and then Coors Beer decides it's going to underwrite the tour that Jason Aldean is going to have, right?
Yes.
And they say, what? We would really love it if you could change that title of that beverage to a Coors beverage, right?
Yes, yes.
And Aldean does.
Swing by the quick stop, grab a couple Rocky Tops, then ease on out your way to your place around 8 o'clock.
How do you feel about that?
Well, he came to us and asked if we would provide some suggestions. He said, here's the situation. Coors has offered me a very nice sponsorship. I would like to appreciate them by not advertising another brand. Could you help me with this? So from our point of view, the artist came to us and asked us to help him make this transition as fitting as possible for the song. He didn't have to do that at all. It's certainly, it's very understandable. I'm sure it's not a small sponsorship. So what little we can do to help is absolutely fine with me, you know, for sure.
So you don't feel like artistically raped or, you know.
So far from it.
Okay.
Well, and this isn't, you know, the detail itself. I mean, on principle, I don't even have a principle about it necessarily. But on this one's particular instance, the detail that we're talking about altering on the scale of things, a minor detail. If say Mr. Aldean had gotten a sponsorship by what's the juice that kids drink?
Sunny D.
Sunny D. I think I would have protested the inclusion of Sonny D in this song, because the sort of long live rock and roll, you know, attitude of the song would have been compromised by the inclusion of Sonny D.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right. Well, can you do a chorus of Take a Little Ride for us?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Going round and round all day, baling some hay, stacking it all up. Can't wait for the sun to go down. Roll into town, shine the old truck up. Swing by the quick stop, grab a little shiner box, and then ease on out your way to your place around 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'm just ready to ride this Chevy down a little dirt road. Slide your pretty little cell phone over, get a little closer, you can play my radio. Put your pretty pink toes on the dash, lean the seat back. Girl, I swear there ain't nothing looks better than that sweet tan little thing with nothing to do. I want to take a little ride with you.
Shiny Bock or Rocky Top? It's potato patata for country songwriter Jim McCormick. But McCormick has lots of songs that have nothing to do with product placement. He performed one of his best for us called Will I Want To.
It got hard at first and it got easier then. It got hard again. I guess that's how it's gonna be. Living without you, tell me, how's it living without me? I go places there and I see faces there where for a moment I think yes, but no, it couldn't be. Tell me, do you ever turn around and think that you see me?
Will I ever get where I can forget about you? Will I ever be who I used to be around you? And if I have the chance to dance a dance without you, will I want to?
A little taste of it.
That was country music singer-songwriter Jim McCormick. It can take years of practice before someone with natural ability gets really good at something. Take the late singer-songwriter David Egan, who spoke with us in 2014. Before he wrote songs for Joe Cocker, Etta James, Percy Sledge, and Irma Thomas, he said he wrote music that stunk off the page.
We can edit this, right?
We can totally edit.
So, my feet, they really are aching. We spent the whole night just a-rocking and a-shaking. We spent the whole night dancing, just my baby and me. Just my baby and me. Pretty bad stuff, you know. Really, and there were lots of those, you know. And I would rip off songs that I knew and make up 18 verses to them.
You're supposed to do that, right? Is it half of like creativity?
Like drinking
theft?
wine, you know. Just make up the most horrible couplets. We'll go down and get old Joe. We'll go walking in the snow. Drinking wine. Drinking wine. But, you know, bad stuff. But, you know, we're talking about an elementary schooler. And no Mozart, no genius, but just a guy in love with rock and roll.
David Egan grew up in a swirl of symphonic music and opera. He says that classical music and the best rock and roll songs have the same magic ingredient.
I tell you something that I really go for, and it's impossible to get it all the time. But what I'm getting at is the element of catharsis.
Okay.
When the music and the words and the pure emotion works to a point where it just makes you kind of have an overflow of emotion as a listener. That outpouring of emotion happens in opera and musical theater, but it also happens in rock and roll and blues. And so having grown up in the opera and musical theater, that's a standard, which I cannot always hit, but it's something that I like to go for in a song.
That's very interesting what you're saying, because in a way, you're relating what you do today in the 21st century to what has been done by artists, you know, for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, really. And so in terms of seeking that catharsis from the audience and from the song, then people can only experience if they sense a truth in that song?
Oh, absolutely. A truth and just a gut connection, you know, a connection of the heart. When Tom Petty says, "Ow, here comes my girl," and you just, at that point, you just want to kick something or put your fist through a window, not in anger necessarily, but just enjoy just that slap your mama moment, you know? Slap your knee. My God, he's got it.
Rock and Roll Catharsis from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. But singer-songwriter David Egan often finds his catharsis in blues ballads. Here's Egan performing an original, Blues, How They Linger.
Birds fly for the winter, south to where it's warm. Fasten down your windows, people, it's only passing storm. Cold wind, blue loving, gentle breeze done carried her away. But the blues, how they linger, and I think they're here to stay. Sunrise in the morning, darkness on the run. Nightfall comes calling when tired old day is done. Sad song on the radio, soft refrain, and soon it's gone. But the blues, how they linger, oh, they linger on and on. A man, but it sure ran out of luck. Luck runs hot and cold, people. Empires, they rise and fall. But the blues, how they linger. Since she packed her bags and walked.
That was singer-songwriter David Egan with Blues, How They Linger. Egan died in 2016 at the age of 61. This is Music Inside Out, and we're recalling music lessons from some of our favorite guests. Now, what's the difference between a vibraphone, a xylophone, and a marimba? Jason Marsalis has the answer. Stay with us. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. We're taking music lessons this week from some of our favorite guests. So far, we've been talking about how to write lyrics to a song. But now, we're turning our attention to musicianship, learning enough about an instrument to play it well. Drummer and vibraphonist Jason Marsalis is a natural-born teacher. His lesson on drums goes all the way back to Baby Dodds, who began playing a century ago.
So, for example, a press roll is when you're taking the left and right hand and you're creating these buzzes, but you bring them together. And you want it, you don't want it to sound like this. That's a pretty terrible sound. You want it to sound more like this. Now, mind you, Baby Dodds' press roll was 10 times cleaner than that, but nonetheless, that's what a press roll is, and you want the kind of sound that's very, as they say, like you're tearing a sheet of paper. When you tear a paper, shoo, and that's what you want. So when you're playing traditional music and you're playing those press rolls, you know... That's the sound you want.
You know, in your liner notes, and I guess in your conversation as well, you know, you convey the spirit of why be a jazz master when it's so much more fun being a jazz student?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, I think that if you're always a student of the music, there's always something that you can learn, and there's always something that you can push for. And that's something that the real masters understood.
So you were complimenting the hi-hat on this particular drum set, which is provided here by Marini Recording Studio. What's so great about that hi-hat?
It's really another device. It's another percussion instrument in all of these percussion instruments that we have here with the hi-hat and the cymbal and the snare drum and bass drum and toms. It's interesting because in the evolution of the drum set, when you think of the early brass band music, you essentially did have an equivalent to the hi-hat, but what it was a cymbal on the bass drum.
Oh.
So that would sound more like... And you'd have like... You know, it's just something to sort of give an accent to the beat. And the same thing goes if you're playing on a cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not supposed to overwhelm it, but you give a slight accent to the beat. Sometimes you can play the hi-hat just, you know, as is. You know, and so there's lots of uses. Of course, you know, most people know the hi-hat from being used, you know, in funk and rock music, you know. So, I mean, it's, definitely complements the drums in a very important way.
Am I supposed to recognize that song that you just played, that riff that you just played?
Not necessarily.
No?
I mean, it's a beat based on so many songs.
Exactly. It sounded like Michael Jackson.
I mean, yeah. Yes. I mean, you know, there was Billie Jean.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that
I mean, it's that beat's been used other places. You know, AC/DC's music has that.
Oh, sure.
She was a fast machine. She cut the motor clean. She was the best damn woman that I've ever seen. She had the same.
You know, it's been used. You know, there's Parliament's music. There's Al Green. You know, there. We could go on and on. Stevie Wonder. Blah, 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 blah.
That sounds
we
like
go
a pretty good party, actually. Yeah.
Tether
yeah.
Off. We're going to tether off the mother sucker. Tether off the sucker. Tether off, we're gonna tether off the mother sucker. Tether off the sucker. Tether off.
You gotta love Parliament. Who else says mother sucker? But our subject is musicianship. And when Jason Marcellus joined us on Music Inside Out, he demonstrated the difference between the xylophone, the marimba, and the vibes.
The xylophone has it's a brighter sound and it's a harder sound. And one of the best examples I can think of is the music from the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Okay.
You know, like when you hear like there's xylophone, like that really, this is a vibraphone, obviously, but that's like a high-pitched, piercing sound. So that's one. Now, there's a marimba, and there was marimba music that was used in a commercial for Tempur-Pedic mattresses.
Oh, my.
Seriously, if you look it up, you know, it's like you hear like a... But on a marimba.
Can do anything.
When I put my feet up on this bed, my stress just goes away.
I can go anywhere.
Yeah, but it's on marimba. Mm. But the best example for the vibraphone that I can tell people is that you've heard it used as a logo for the National Broadcasting Company.
Ooh.
And they all get it. Oh, yeah, we've heard that. They all know what that is. Now, I think this true. The differences between marimba, xylophone, and vibraphone are just in the bars and the type of bars and the type of mallets that you use to play them. So there's that. Also, with the vibes, you have a motor which has resonators, because it would sound really flat. It would just sound like metal without them. And also, there's vibrato. And this is something you can't do on marimba or xylophone. There's
like the human voice.
And there's pedals, you know, so instead of, it's. And then when I turn on, vibrato.
Wow.
You know.
Was Jason Marcellus on vibraphone. And yes, he was whistling as well. A musician's instrument can be anything, including the human voice. Singer-songwriter Ricky Lee Jones has a voice that hasn't changed much in 30 years. Here, she's performing a song called Jimmy Choo's.
Need to clear out your mind. conversations. And I know about giving up on yourself. You don't have to tell me about giving up. Don't carry in the street calling the cops down here. Cold and mean, and if they see you up there on the hot tin roof, with your gold cat tooth, that one you chipped, now a vampire smile. Could we just leave all this beauty for a while? Show them the house then. I think they'll love that. Yeah, show them your house then. Shoes, yeah, the Jimmy Choo's, the Choo-Choo, yeah, someone loves you tonight, someone loves you tonight, and
I think that was a whole step higher than the record.
I think that we should have ended up, and now that I do it, I think it was in G.
That was... I can still hit that note. So
yes, you can.
I can.
Wow.
Well, I have to mention, and I'm sure you've heard this many times before, but it is uncanny how little your voice has changed in 30 years. How is that possible?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, there are small ways that it's diminished, and I feel it more this year. It's not in the range. It's in the, how do I explain that? It's in the control of it. So, and by the control, I mean how I attack it and how I let it go. So I can still hit them, but it's getting harder to make it smooth in and smooth out. But in answer to that question, I've been aware for a long time that there is this kind of voice in a woman that you hear around the world. You can hear it in Chinese singers, Slavic singers. Ella had it.
Yes.
It's a youthful quality that does not age. I don't know why, if it's because this is where we're singing from and we don't have to try very hard to sing. You know, I never liked the trained voice, and I was never attracted to it, and I don't do it. And consequently, my voice has lasted. I think that training thing is maybe not so good for people. But so all I think is I'm part of some, you know, earthly female voice that sounds a little bit like a young boy.
Right? I hadn't thought of that, but you know what? Maybe so, actually.
You know, the first recordings of me when I was 15, we recorded me doing Nights in White Satin.
Oh, boy.
And when I heard it back, I was so disappointed because I sounded just like Michael Jackson singing Nights in White Satin. When we played that, because I'm this, and you know, at the time, Janis Joplin was the thing, you know, yeah, to have a gruff, rough voice, to be able to scream. I will never be able to scream. And I realized right away that I sounded very different than anybody else. So that was at 14. So 8 years later, I guess it, in my own heart, it was okay for me to not sound like other people. And I began to realize it could be a really good thing to not sound like other people.
Not long ago, Ricky Lee Jones recorded a version of the Blind Willie Johnson song, Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground. That's one of the most powerful songs ever recorded. It's gospel, it's blues, it's a lamentation, and it required a different vocal approach.
This is Dark Is the Night by Blind Willie Johnson and Ricky Lee Jones.
Dark is the night and cold is the ground. On which our Lord was laid, his precious blood ran down, and in agony he prayed, oh Father, oh remove this bitter cup, if only such is thy will. Thy sacred will, and if not, oh, I will drink it up, thy will to fulfill. Go to the garden, sinners, and see those precious drops that flow, the heavy load that he bore for thee, and but for thee he lies so low.
That was Ricky Lee Jones singing her version of Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground, a song Blind Willie Johnson recorded in 1927. This is Music Inside Out, and we're taking music lessons from some of our favorite guests. Coming up, musician John Cleary talks about how one song can beget a whole new genre of music. Stay tuned. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. Musicians make great teachers, and piano player John Cleary is among the best. Not long ago, we asked him to talk about the music of Fats Domino, and Cleary gave us a lesson we won't soon forget.
I grew up in England, and I love reggae, and I love old blue beat and ska and rock steady, and that music was very informed by New Orleans music. From what old Jamaican musicians have told me, that was pretty much all they could get on American radio. If the reception was good, if the weather was clear and the signals were coming over from New Orleans, which wasn't that far away, Fats Domino's music was hugely popular. And he's really credited with creating, coming up with the first record that was such a splash in Jamaica that it changed the way Jamaican musicians played and gave them a basic template for a style of music that came to be known as ska. And you know, this it's called Be My Guest, and the basic groove is simple. It's just this. Record and over here, what you really, the bass is the important thing. That's the bass is, and the right hand is almost just propelling things along by filling in the gaps. The way Jamaicans heard it, and perhaps because they were listening on little transistor radios, and you couldn't really hear the bass part. What they really heard loud and clear was the right hand of the piano. so it spawned the whole style. And they called it ska because it sounded like scat, 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 and scat, 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 and scat. Very, the Jamaicans are great with onomatopoeic words to describe music, like reggae, 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 reggae. And so what happened was over the course of a couple of decades, this music, which was really for young kids, they started getting a bit older. They wanted to smooch a little bit more, and the music started to slow down a little bit. As again, so that bit was called Rock Steady. And into the 60s and into the 70s, it slowed down completely into. Which is reggae music. Everyone knows about reggae. So arguably, one of the important contributory factors to reggae, which has conquered the world, came out of the Ninth Ward in New Orleans in the person of Fats Domino. That's where it comes from.
You know, I mean, people have always, I mean, not always, but I've read something similar to that, but I never really understood it until you actually played it, yeah. You know? Yeah. And you're right. I mean, nothing like a mono sound over a transistor radio.
Sure.
To distort, to tamp down the bass,
yeah.
Bring up the right hand, and then yeah. The slowing it down. It's like it all came into focus.
Yes. The piano was always. Be my guest tonight.
This is Be My Guest, first by John Cleary, and now by Ben Harper and the Scatolites.
Come on, baby, won't you be my guest? Join the party and meet the rest. Everything is gonna be so right. Just be my guest tonight. We're gonna dance to the rock and roll. We're gonna groove to the stroll. A special party for you. My, oh my. You know you're so fine. Don't let me down. I'm the king, but you can wear my crown.
That was Ben Harper and the Scatolites with Be My Guest, a song made popular by Fats Domino and helped pave the way for ska music. Songs are meant to transport the soul, but as they age, songs paint new pictures and take on new meanings. These are the unexpected consequences of music, and often depend on circumstances that are out of the musician's control. In 2012, the legendary producer Alan Toussaint wrote a song for his friend, singer-songwriter Jesse Winchester. In the wake of Toussaint's unexpected passing, the song has become a lesson to us all. It's called Isn't Life Great?
Smell the coffee, sip the tea, try something new every now and then. Smile just for the heck of it, though some might think you're crazy. And it's all right to admit that sometimes you're a little bit lazy. Go a walking, stop and stare at something that has always been there. You'll see something new, I guarantee. There's always another point of view of what you thought you already knew. We all heard, stop and smell the roses. Well, there's much more to that than what meets the eye.
The roses represent the blessings that every day we just walk right on by. Enjoy every moment, make them what you will. Within every challenge, there's a hidden brand new thrill. Knowing there's a light at the end of every tunnel. Isn't life great?
Isn't Life Great by Alan Toussaint. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Melissa McLean, Garrett Pittman, and Jason Rhine. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. For more information about the artists and songs in today's show, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Rosa Mary Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.